see, did you see that new Liam Neeson's movie?
You talking about Walk Among the Tombstones?
Walking Among the Tombstones is that new Liam Neeson's joint? Oh, man. I gotta tell you, this is such a happy return to form for Liam Neeson. We saw him in Nonstop, which should have much sooner than it did. We saw him in Taken 2, which no one should have taken me to. It's just been kind of a sour run for Liam Neeson's. But this is an absolute return to form. And this, what you're listening to, is the Highly Suspect review for A Walk Among the Tombstones, which is already high up on my list for like favorite crime film this year. This is absolutely fantastic. But I am Brian.
JC.
And apparently we were the only two people to see this movie. but I'm hoping that's not a trend. And I'm hoping more of you out there listening will go see it, because it is fantastic. To give you a basic rundown of the plot here, Liam Neeson plays a former NYPD detective who had some bad shit go down to him in 1991 when he was rocking his next of kin hockey mullet, which was amazing to see again. He had some bad stuff go down. He's in a bar. He's drinking. Obviously, he's got a problem with alcohol. Two guys come in to rob the place, and it leads to events that make him quit the force. So we jump ahead 8 years. The movie takes place in 1999. So we're going to watch this movie like it's 1999, because that's what the title card told us it was. Yep. So, you know,
everyone's afraid of Y2K.
Everyone's afraid of Y2K, which was a really interesting, what do you call it? It was like a signpost that ran through the whole movie, was all the fear about Y2K. And they also made a lot of references to things like, it was funny, actually, the way they kept coming back to the fact that it was, in fact, 1999. After a while, it was like, dude, we get it. Like, there's a scene where he's sitting down with this kid, and he's like, yeah, I want a cool detective name, like Dante Culpepper. And Liam Neeson, who I'm going to go ahead and put money on the fact has never watched American football ever, snaps his fingers and is like, oh, yeah, Vikings quarterback. And it was like, yeah, we know, like, I guess not everyone knows. Maybe that's unfair. Maybe it's just because we're the sports nerds and we're reviewing this.
But that's true.
I thought that was a little heavy-handed. We're just like, oh, this. And also this. And it's 1999. Did we tell you that already?
Yeah. But that kid said Dante Culpepper was a dumb name. I think that was an awesome name.
I think it's a good... He said it was a dumb name for a quarterback, a great name for a detective. Well, but I still think it's a great name for a quarterback. Anyway, this movie's not about football. That's just what happens when JC and I get together and talk about things. So anyway, we jump ahead to 1999, and he is... there's a guy that reaches out to him to help him solve the kidnapping of his wife. I'm going to stop there for a risk of spoiling the movie, but let's just say things get a little bit more complicated from there. So, JC, what did you think of the film?
I kind of agree with everything you said.
The plot synopsis?
Yeah, well, I mean...
You agree that all that happened?
Yeah, I mean, the return to seeing a good Liam Neeson. I think I read an interview where he even kind of he used the credibility he'd built up for himself from Taken that I guess he used to create those other movies that weren't as good, and they still kind of rode that into this one. And so, this was backed by a strong performance from Liam Neeson, and the writer-director has also written a lot of movies that you and I like.
This is not his first directorial effort. It's his second film as a director, but he has written... He's good at adaptation. He has adapted things like Get Shorty, Out of Sight, Minority Report. He wrote and directed he also wrote the screenplay for The Wolverine, but as far as directing goes, he wrote and directed The Lookout with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, which is another film I feel is highly underrated. Another great little film noir, a crime story, which I didn't know going in. There's a couple of things I didn't know going in that I kind of wish I had. One, that it was this writer-director, Scott Frank, and that he was a guy from The Lookout. The other thing is that the other movie I saw this morning, which we'll talk about on a review coming up, was Denzel Washington's The Equalizer. And then immediately saw this film. So I thought to myself, this is going to be a full-on revenge day. Like, if I was going to label this day with a film title, it would be Revengey Comes Home. But in fact, this is not a typical... A Walk Among the Tombstones is not a typical revenge film. Not in the mold that we've seen from Liam Neeson before. He still has his sort of Taken moments, like where he just completely lays it out on the line and pimp smacks the killers on the phone. But like, for the most part, what this is more Liam Neeson versus the Hillside Stranglers kind of thing. Yeah. Like, it is almost more like Seven than it is Taken.
It was about three quarters of the way through the movie where I was like, Not a lot of action in this movie.
Yeah,
but I didn't mind it at all. I was totally digging it from the opening scene on.
Well, they do a really good job of building Neeson's character and making us understand who he is and understand sort of the trials that he's gone through that have led him to this place. And I also really like the way they develop the mystery of it. Like he's doing actual detective work. He's not just murdering everyone in sight.
Oh yeah.
You know, like it's the apocalypse, like Liam Neeson usually does. So I really liked that aspect of this movie, that it is more than just, you know, you took something from me, I get revenge. It's more of a dark thriller, much in the vein of, and it's, I think this is another way that it's fitting, like much in the vein of the serial killer thrillers we got in the 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's really interesting to me that this is set in the 90s. And not only that, but there's actually an actor, surprisingly, who was in both the Equalizer, who when I went to the Equalizer screening this morning, was in that movie and in this film, is an actor by the name of David Harbour. And I won't tell you who he plays in either movie, but you will recognize him in both films. And also, this features a really strong performance from Dan Stevens, who plays the guy who hires Neeson to help find his wife. Now, Dan Stevens is also the star of another movie that's coming out this week, The Guest,
yeah,
from the writer and director of You're Next.
Yep, our buddies Adam and Simon.
Absolutely fantastic movie in its own right, and I think we were both really excited that Dan Stevens is kind of getting his due. He's got two big movies being released in theaters this week.
Yeah, it's weird. I had watched the trailer, but I mean, when I watch trailers, I don't pay too much attention to them. And then, so obviously I had seen Dan Stevens' face, but it wasn't until I was watching the movie, I saw his name on screen. I was like, oh, that's cool. And then I remembered who he was. But it did kind of make me think, you talked about the Equalizer in this, This summer, I think, was a pretty good summer of movies, but the type of movies that I really enjoy, like the revenge, action, detective, even kind of buddy cop to a certain extent, like, here at post-summer, we're getting Equalizer, we got this, we have The Guest coming up, we've got John Wick coming up, like...
We just had The Drop.
The Drop, yeah.
This is a really crime-filled post-summer.
Yeah, I'm digging it.
It's funny. This summer made so much money that the criminals are coming out of the woodwork to steal it all.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. I think that's the reason we're getting all these crime films in the wake of the summer.
Yeah, it's just I'm completely digging it. Like, now that the summer's over, and this is kind of where that's sort of that dead period right in between when award seasons start, but it's like I'm liking everything that's coming out this time.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. And the other movie, which I won't mention, there was yet a third movie that screened today, because apparently they like to run us through the gauntlets. There was a third movie that screened today that we'll have a review for later that was also apparently good, so... It is just, I think you're right. I think we kind of hit a wellspring of under-the-radar, really strong movies. And I got to say this, you know, we talked a little bit about how this doesn't feel, you know, you mentioned like there's sort of there's a dearth of action for a while. And don't get me wrong, though, when this movie gets, when shit goes down, when the proverbial caca hits the fan, people die horribly. Like, it is, it is a brutal and very violent film, but there is something about the way that it is filmed, and there is something about the way the story is told, where you feel every moment, every bullet hits like a punch to the face. You know, like there is an intensity to this violence that isn't just satisfying throwaway, you know, Taken style violence. Mm-hmm. Like, you really feel every single person's exit from the mortal coil.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's a compliment to the movie. That's really a testament to how well this story is constructed. And it reminds me, actually, in parts, this reminded me more of... I used to read Jeffrey Deaver, who was a mystery writer who created Lincoln Rhyme. Have you ever seen the movie The Bone Collector with Denzel Washington, actually? That was the only movie that was made that was based on his work that I'm aware of. And it's not a great movie, but it's an outstanding book. And he writes a lot of stories where, you know, it is both from the investigating detective's perspective and the perspective of the antagonists.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of different twists and turns that he's still able to do within character dynamics based on that structure that I was seeing in this movie. Like, this reminded me a lot of a Jeffrey Deaver story called The Cold Moon. I won't go into too much because, again, I don't want to spoil this movie for you guys, but just what I'm trying to get out here is that this is a very different type of movie than what you're probably expecting.
Yeah.
And I think not only in the story and the way that's constructed, not only in the way that they handle violence, not only in the way that they really go to great lengths to make you understand all of these characters and who they are, but also just in the way that they, just in the cinematography, even like it, it has sort of a David Fincher aesthetic to it.
I was actually just about to bring up if you did want to bring a more apt comparison to the type of feel that this movie has. It's not quite as in-depth a story as The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, but that's kind of what it felt like.
Yeah. I actually was talking with someone after the movie who said that it felt very Girl with the Dragon Tattoo-like.
Yeah, so. And it's Scott Frank, as talented as he is, having directed The Lookout and now this, I mean, David Fincher's on a complete another level. But this is kind of what that feels like.
Sort of Stieg Larsson by way of David Fincher.
Yeah, I don't want
to say... Which is a hell of a compliment to pay this movie.
Yeah, totally. Like, I don't want to say low-rent Girl with the Dragon Tattoo or this guy's a low-rent David Fincher, because, like, I would kill to be a low-rent David Fincher.
Even low-rent David Fincher is still high... It's still, like, Park Avenue, penthouse, anybody else, so... Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's, we should just go from here into, oh, actually I do want to make one more point. If you've ever seen the movie Next of Kin, which I've mentioned already once in this review, there is a scene in a cemetery that plays out very similarly to a scene that plays out in the cemetery of this movie, and it just made me smile because I know they didn't intend for it. But it was really interesting that it was like, not only does he have the same haircut as he did in Next of Kin at the beginning of this movie, but there's a scene in a cemetery that feels very similar as well. All that was missing was the ghost of Patrick Swayze. So I guess, JC, I will let you go to final thoughts here.
I was really looking forward to this coming in. The trailers kind of made it seem like it would be a little bit more action into this, but I still really like the detective aspect of it, the storytelling aspect of it. This director is obviously really talented. Later on down the line, if he were to get maybe a bigger ensemble cast, like, I'm curious to see what he would do with something like that. But he does also seem to do this noirish, small type environment really well. I think one of the stronger crime thrillers to come out this year, and we still haven't. John Wick is definitely going to be the action movie that I was looking for in this, but this was still incredibly enjoyable. Liam Neeson always delivers, even in a bad movie like Nonstop. I think he was good in it. Just the thing, he can't help the script.
That's true. That's true. Liam Neeson can do nothing about the script.
Yeah, but I really enjoyed this. I don't know where it'll end up sitting on my top 10, because now is kind of the time of year where you start thinking about what might end up there and what might not. But this is still really good, and I would rewatch the hell out of this. I would give it 7 out of 10. Kidnapped Wives.
All right. I think there's a lot of elements of this movie that are very classically noir. Like, we've mentioned a little bit how there's remnants of Fincher and some serial killer stuff in the 90s. But then there's some other stuff that is very classic noir. Like, I was just talking earlier today about Jean-Pierre Melville and about how he has this concept of the trench coat and the fedora, which is a signature of film noir, being a character's armor, like they're a samurai, which is sort of the whole basis of his movie, Le Samurai with Alain Delon. And there's a moment in this movie where Liam Neeson puts on a trench coat, and it's so ceremonial that it feels like that classic Jean-Pierre Melville approach, that samurai armor and that sort of deeper rooted meaning to film noir. And I really liked that about it. If I had a complaint with this movie, honestly, there was a little bit of ham-fistedness about AA. Again, this is a character, Liam Neeson's playing a character just like he did in Nonstop that's, having trouble with alcohol and, has a moment in his life that very much makes him turn away from the bottle. And that's all well and good. That's something that really adds texture to his character, and I understand that. But when you start doing things like having a voiceover where you're just reciting all of the 12 steps, I feel like you're giving a little too much credit to AA, and I know that sounds weird, but I've never been a big fan of AA and the way that they operate and trying. I mean, telling people right off the bat that they're powerless is not a great way to help them overpower something. And I also don't like that it's very inextricably religious. I don't like that about it. I feel like that's counter to what you actually have to do to correct a behavior that's out of control. But I can set all of that aside except for the fact that they literally have a voiceover reading all 12 of the 12 steps as we're moving toward the climax, as if it has some sort of bearing on, Neeson's already been sober for 8 years by the time he gets to the main part of the movie. So I don't really feel like I don't really feel like that was necessary to kind of create a parallel to the important decisions he has to make now at this point in his life. I feel like that's what they were trying to do, and it didn't really work for me. But other than that, brilliant cinematography, absolutely fantastic writing. There's not a bad performance to be found across the board. They actually do a lot of interesting things with characters that in the past have had very defined archetypes and very defined stereotypes, and they don't do those things with the characters in this, which I thought was really interesting. And actually, I think the last shot of the movie at first is going to strike you as a little bit odd because it does look like sort of a Dick Tracy matte painting, you know, from the beginning of that movie. But then when you start thinking about the tagline of the movie, because the tagline of the movie is people are scared of the wrong things. Like people like to be scared of the wrongs or something like that.
Right.
And the last shot, like if you really think about it, is such a great nod back to that as an end note, and I really liked that about it. So overall, I would give this movie 8.5 out of 10 Next of Kin hockey hair mullets. Liam Neeson's